Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Study of God podcast. This is episode number 35. I am your host, Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. This podcast is designed to give you a basic understanding of God, the Bible, and Christian beliefs. Dr. J. Dwight Pentecost said, "There is no higher activity in which the mind may be engaged than the pursuit of the knowledge of God." Let's start out by reading the Word of God itself as we should. Today's passage of Scripture is Luke 17, 20 and 21, which reads, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Today's words from a theologian are from Norman Geisler. He said, "All views can't be true because all views are opposite. This is the logical aspect. For example, Islam says we are good in nature. Christianity says we are born in sin. Islam says God is a man. Christianity says he is more than a man, he is God. All truths can't be the same." I might add to that quote what a preacher in Florida said one time, "Things that are different are not the same." Our first topic for today is titled, "Did God Really Make Everything?" from the book Understanding Theology in 15 Minutes a Day by Dr. Daryl Aaron. And I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, if you benefit from this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of this book, Understanding Theology in 15 Minutes a Day. It is available on our website for just $25. Dr. Daryl Aaron continues, "One implication of note is that God is ultimate reality. That fact rules out a worldview or philosophy known as dualism, which asserts that there are two ultimate realities. For example, spirit and matter. There is nothing higher or of greater value than God, and there is nothing or no one equal to God. He and he alone is worthy of worship." Further, reflecting his matchless wisdom, God created in the very best way he could have created. Thus, Genesis 1 states, "Over and over, God saw that it was good, and finally it was very good. Out of the nearly infinite number of different possibilities, he chose the one very best way to create. He could not have improved on what he did in any way." This is important because it means that evil is not inherent to creation. That rules out another form of dualism, that is, that good and evil are opposing ultimate realities. Evil did invade God's perfect creation and early on, but it is not eternal. Also, that God's original creation was good in and of itself means that he can make it so again. His handiwork will be perfected through his redemptive or recreative work, by which he will reverse and remove the effects of evil and sin and restore creation to what he originally intended. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic in our next podcast. Our second topic for today is titled Theology of the Synoptics, Part 2 from the Moody Handbook of Theology by Dr. Paul Innes. And I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer if you enjoy this podcast. If you benefit from it, please feel free to purchase a copy of this book, The Moody Handbook of Theology. It is available on our website for just $50. What is the relationship of the three Gospels to one another? Several theories have been suggested. Oral tradition theory. It was believed that the preaching of the early church provided fixed forms to the life and ministry of Jesus, but there were no written forms behind the synoptic Gospels. Interdependence theory. In 1789, Griesbach taught that the first writer drew upon oral tradition. The second writer used the material from the first writer, while the third writer drew upon the other two. Primitive gospel theory. In 1778, Lessing taught that the gospel writers borrowed from a primitive source called Evangelium, which no longer exists. Fragmentary theory. In 1817, Schleiermacher taught that the gospel writers compiled their accounts from many fragmentary writings about the life of Christ. Two-document theory, a more recent development. This theory suggests that since Matthew and Luke are usually found in agreement with Mark, and since so much material of Mark is found in Matthew and Luke, Mark must have been written first and used by Matthew and Luke. But since Matthew and Luke have considerable material in common not found in Mark, they must have drawn from a second common source called Q. Four document theory. Streeter suggested four original independent sources behind the final written form of the Gospels. Mark in Rome about AD 60, Q in Antioch about AD 50, M, private saying source of Matthew in Jerusalem about AD 65, and L, private source of Luke in Caesarea about AD 60. Beloved, in our next episode, we will continue looking at the theology of the Synoptic Gospels. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word, and thank you for what we're learning here. We do pray that you would give us insight, give us wisdom, and give us knowledge to apply what we learn, and help us to use it, and help us to use it for your glory, praise, and honor, and for the sharing of the gospel with others. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Beloved, before we close, I want to remind you that while it is important to engage in the study of God, it is far more important that you have a relationship with God. I fear that there are many people who will die knowing a lot about God, but not really knowing God. You don't want to be in that number. If you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you want to get to know him today, here's how. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law at some point in your life. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Jesus Christ. If he is not your Savior, that's where you're headed, according to the Scriptures. In fact, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, the Bible states very clearly in Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Yes, I know, dear friend, this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said himself in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that includes you, because if you are still living in this world, God loves you. So for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, that includes you, believeth in him, trusts in him, has faith in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish in a place called hell, but have everlasting life in heaven. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him in heaven. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, your heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Until next time, my beloved, may God bless you and keep you until we meet again.